Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of devotional studies or lessons based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing upon our journey through the Gospel of John today, Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide and teacher this day. And we pray for the saint of God that these lessons, these studies would be in a blessing and an encouragement to them, that it would help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for the lost sinner that may be listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ shed blood and his shed blood alone to save them from their sins and to give them, secure them a home in heaven. We pray that this would be the very day that they would crawl from a heart of faith, believing that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day. And Father, with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this very day. Father, we commit this time into thy hands. We pray you'd have your will in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we want to continue our series of lessons in our devotional studies or lessons based on the Gospel of John. And let's continue now in John chapter 1. I want us to read together the first 9 verses of John chapter 1. And then we'll get right into our lesson today. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Our devotion here is simply entitled, Jesus the Light for a Dark World. Jesus the Light for a Dark World. In Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, he makes this statement about the gospel. He says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, my dear friend, Satan has this world in the darkness of sin. And they are stumbling into this darkness, not realizing their destination is hell. In their blindness, they turn a deaf ear to the message of redemption. Now let's turn our attentions to the scripture. There is only hope in the Lord Jesus, the light for a dark world. As the Gospel of John begins, the message that Jesus is the light for a dark world begins. John declares that Christ was in the beginning, that all things were made by him. You see, he is the light. Let me give you 5 thoughts here. There are 5 thoughts about the light that I want to give you. First one is the purpose of the light. The purpose of the light. Looking in verse 4 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read, in him was life, In the life was the light of men. You see, outside of Christ, there is no life. You are dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We read this. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The testimony of every saved person is that they never lived until they were saved by the grace of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Again, I'm giving you five thoughts about the light. The first one we just looked at is the purpose of the light. The second one we want to look at is the power of the light. The power of the light. Look at in verse 5, John's Gospel, chapter 1. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, the unsaved person living in darkness conceals many evil deeds. Again, in John chapter 3, verse 19, we're reminded, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Here it is. And men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. You see, when the Holy Spirit convicts the unsaved person and they weep their way to Jesus, all the darkness of hell is dissolved and the light shines in. You see, this glorious light opens eyes that one who was once blind to wrong can now see. The third thought I want to give you about the light is the proclaimer of the light. The proclaimer of the light. Look at verse 7, the Gospel of John, verse chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 7, we read, the saying came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. You see, John the Baptist made known that he was the voice crying in the wilderness. He was the one that introduced Jesus. John's introduction of him was this. He said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, John knew that he was the one who would light the life of every believer and would receive all who would come to him. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we read this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessed invitation for whosoever. That means anyone and everyone that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let me give you a fourth thought on the light. So far we've seen the purpose of the light, the power of the light, the proclaimer of the light. Number four, the perception of the light. The perception of the light. Look at in verse 8, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You see, to have the right perception of Jesus Christ is all important in this world today. where his deity has been questioned. John the Baptist was a great man, a promised voice to proclaim the coming of the Lamb of God. But John was one who recognized he was not worthy to be compared with Jesus Christ. We are not to promote ourselves, you see, but to witness of the one who has come and brought light to our life. We walk in the darkness of sin until we met him. Without him, we would be nothing. Amen. The fifth and final thought on the light I want to give you is the partaker of the light. The partaker of the light. Look at in verse 9, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. We read, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Here again, the Lord Jesus Christ is recognized as the true light. There are many false lights in the world. Amen. These false lights have misled thousands today, and they are blinded. Amen. We know some of these false lights as the Nation of Islam and their teachings, the Mormons and their teachings, the Christian Scientists and their teaching, the Jehovah's Witnesses and their teaching, and the Roman Catholic Church and their teachings. Amen. You see, the modern day means of communication has permitted the false leaders to reach into homes and offer something spectacular, and multitudes fall for it. Amen. You see, the true light has come and has provided the light for all men. Not one soul has been excluded from the glorious salvation provided. So you want the true light, my dear friend listening today? It's not found in some false religion. Amen. No, it's not. Or some philosophy. No, the true light is found in one person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I remind you, as it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I say to you, lost soul, in this dark hour, why not come to the one who can remove the darkness and give you light, and true life. Amen. Now let's continue on in our devotional studies in the Gospel of John. Now let's look at, again, we're in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And we're going to look at verse 10 of chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, verse 10, we read this. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." This verse expresses the tragic truth of a world so sin-blinded that it could not even recognize its own creator. It was true then and still true today. Man is still so blinded by sin, they fail to recognize Christ, their need of salvation, or acknowledge the fact that they must face God someday. Like the lady who was asked by a Christian worker if she realized that she must die. The lady replied, "Yes, but I try not to even think about it. And when I get it on my mind, I try to forget it as quickly as possible." Trying to forget it or erase it from our mind does not in any way erase the truth. John, in the first chapter of his gospel, records one verse that has a tremendous truth. And we just read it. We read, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." The word "world" is used in three different terms here. First, the world that he made has reference to the earth. The second, the world that he was in has reference to our dwelling on the created world. The third, the world that knew him not, has reference to the people on the earth. So again, the word "world" is used in three different terms here. First, the world that he made has reference to the earth. Second, the world that he was in has reference to our dwelling place on the created world. And third, the world that knew him not has reference to the people of the earth. We want to look at three statements. These are three supreme statements made in this one verse about our earth. The first statement, the supreme transaction about our world, the supreme transaction about our world. And that statement is as follows: "And the world was made by him." And the world was made by him. There is only one real truth about how this world and all the universe came into being, and that truth is just what the Bible declares. Again, in verse 3, John's Gospel, chapter 1, "And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." A person's view as to the origin of the universe affects his whole outlook on human life. This is why the Christian has a happier outlook on life. You see, we know that God created all of it for a purpose. And we know that God's purpose will be fulfilled no matter what man says or does. Amen. The atheist, the evolutionists think that all of this just came into being, and they are scared to death of what is going to happen to it. But the Christian knows that the world was made by him. And every mountain, every valley, every river, every ocean, every animal, fowl, or fish has a purpose in fulfilling God's plan. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." Again, we're looking at three supreme statements made in this one verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10. We saw, "And the world was made by him," which is a statement about the supreme transaction about the world. The second supreme statement we see is, "He was in the world." So we see here this supreme truth about our world. He was in the world. This is the supreme truth because his coming into this world was the fulfillment of God's promise from the beginning, the climax of all that the prophets had pointed to, the defeat of the devil, the victory over sin, the conquering of death, and the assurance of life everlasting. When I think of the fact of Jesus coming into this world of sin and disgrace, I want to ask the question the psalmist of old asked, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The fact of Jesus coming into the world causes any sensible thinking person to consider some things. First of all, it was the highest of all visits. You see, the world didn't deserve him. No wonder the prophet foretold it centuries beforehand. No wonder the chorus of angels couldn't refrain from singing of his birth. No wonder the star beamed forth the light to guide the wise men. Jesus, the Son of Glory, was in the world. Another thing we want to consider is this. It was the mystery of all visions. It was the mystery of all visions. The mystery of God wrapping himself in the flesh of man is still a mystery. But Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. A third thing we want to consider, it was the greatest of all values. It was the greatest of all values. To the real born-again child of God, there is nothing more valuable than being saved. Jesus is all the world to them. And God proved his love for sinners and the value of a soul when Jesus came into this world. One God-conscious human soul, capable of love or hate, fellowship or rebellion, heaven or hell, is of more value than all the stars and all the planets that fill the universe. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe he came into this world. But that doesn't change the fact that he came. Amen. A third and final supreme statement that we want to see in verse 10 of the Gospel of John chapter 1 is this. And the world knew him not. We have in that statement the supreme tragedy about our world. The supreme tragedy about our world. And the world knew him not. The failure of the world to recognize Jesus was surely inexcusable. From his birth to the cross, he proved to be the Son of God and Savior of the world. You see, he should have been known through the holiness of his character. No one could find any fault with him. Pilate testified, I find no fault with him. Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Second of all, not only should he have been known through the holiness of his character, but he should have been known through the miracles of his conduct. Through the miracles of his conduct. You see, he opened blind eyes. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. And he calmed the sea. Thirdly, he should have been known through the wisdom of his conversation. He should have been known through the wisdom of his conversation. You see, he always spoke with great authority until those who heard him were astonished at his words. The officers who returned without his arrest said, we never heard man speak like this man. Fourthly, he should have been known through the boldness of his claims. he should have been known through the boldness of his claims. Jesus said, I and the Father of one. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He said, if I go away, I will come again. Because of Israel's blindness, they knew not the Lord. But what was true then is true now. Of all that the Lord has done, the love that God has manifested, the world still does not know him, neither do they know those who belong to him. I love what it says in John's first epistle, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We read, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Just to think that the very Son of Glory came to this earth to die on the cruel cross of Calvary. Yet men and women would let the devil so blind them, they couldn't even recognize him. And again, as I stated, what was true then, when Jesus was on the earth, is true now. They're so blinded by the devil, amen, that they don't even recognize him. Don't recognize him. We have missionaries all over the world going out as shining lights to proclaim the gospel. And we have people in our own country here, the United States of America, going out and proclaiming the gospel. But the devil is so blind to these people. Many refuse to recognize the true light. Amen. Refuse to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What a sad state of affairs. Amen. But as believers, we must not grow weary in well-doing, because in due time, amen, we will reap what we've sown. Before I close today, I want to say this. You who are without him, the Lord Jesus Christ, have a threefold choice. You can accept him as your Savior of your life, you can put him off for another time, or you can reject him forever. The best thing is to accept him right now. Right now. Right now, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, believing that it's only his shed blood and nothing else. His payment, his shed blood, was the payment of your sins, past, present, and future, that you're trusting in only his shed blood and nothing else to save you. Won't you call from a heart of faith? Call upon the name of the Lord, and he's promised to save you. Well, that's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. Thank you for listening today. I pray our devotional lessons in the Gospel of John will be a blessing to you. Please drop a line and let me know. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you. And good day.